Corinthians chapter 6 together. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're looking at this month God's work in the world, and God uses the Christian to impact this world in a positive way. Oftentimes, we as Christians, we're always pointing fingers at the world. The world is this, the world is that, the world's so evil. And I mean, the world is acting like the world. But the problem is when the Christian acts like the world. The problem is when the church acts like the world. We are to be the light of the world, Jesus said. We're to be salt, and salt that has lost its savor is good for nothing. It's just trodden under the feet of men. And so we are to be difference makers, and I believe we find that truth in this passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 1, Brother Marr spoke last week of the impact that we as Christians ought to make in the world. And we see that in the last days, how bad things are, and they are, and the last days are from the cross to the return of Christ. We are living in the last days. And whether you can say that we're in the last days of the last days, that could be the reality that we're living in. There's no doubt about it. But the reality from Scripture's point of view is from Christ to His return, there's going to be some perilous times. And the answer to those perilous times, and that is sin, because our world today is affected by sin. The answer to that is the gospel. And how shall they hear, Paul said in Romans 10, without a preacher? And that is where we come in as Christians, because we are ambassadors for Christ. We are in Christ's stead, the Bible says. And so notice what the Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 6. It says, "We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you," the word beseech means to beg, "beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And we look at this passage of Scripture and we preach and we teach that you should be saved today. And rightfully so. That is the message of the Bible. But the context is not to the unsaved, but to the saved to live the gospel today. Today is the day of salvation. The church at Corinth was not living the gospel. And Paul said, listen, we are saved by grace, and today is the day to enjoy the benefits of what Christ has to offer. He says in verse 3, "giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience and much afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, in pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity, Lord, that you have given me to teach this lesson tonight, and I pray that you would help, Lord, me to get the message across. Lord, I pray you would help us to live it. Lord, this is not my opinion, this is your word, and Lord, you are speaking to us tonight, and so I pray you would help us Lord, to understand the message, not, Lord, just in our mind, but in our hearts. And may it impact the way we live our life. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says that we are workers together with Him. It truly is a wonderful privilege to be a Christian. The Bible teaches us that we are laborers together with God. We are working with the Lord in the greatest work in all the world, and that is the redemption of humanity. Remember, the redemption of mankind is the answer in our world today. The answer is not politics, it's not policies, it's the gospel. And we as Christians have to understand the gospel is so important in our world. The Apostle Paul said, listen, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The Scriptures tell us in this Scripture that as workers together with Him beseech you, Paul says, also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. We know the Lord and we are His children. And it ought to be our desire to make Him known. To make Him known. Now, whether you are one who goes over to your neighbor and gives them a gospel tract, or you talk to your coworker at lunchtime and talk about Jesus, whether you're a Sunday school teacher or whether you have a pulpit and you preach behind, we are all preachers of the gospel. We are all ambassadors. We are all in Christ's stead. He says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. And so we have a task to accomplish. Now, the reality is we are engaged in a spiritual battle. And the spiritual battle is not for the faint-hearted. We are fighting against the greatest foe that this world has ever known. The devil has been doing battle with God since he was thrown out of heaven. And he hates Christians because he hates God. And so he fights against us. The great work of the devil is deception. God said he is the deceiver of the nation. And he's busy trying to deceive people so that they cannot see the wondrous gospel of Christ. And yet we continue to battle every day. We continue to preach the gospel in season and out of season. We preach the word of God. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 3, it says, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." Someone suggested that self-deception is the greatest deception. If you think that you're something when you're nothing, you deceive yourself. In verse 4 it says, "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in him alone and not in another." The Bible teaches us to test our work, to prove our work, to see if we are working along with God. Reality is we don't want to go to battle alone. We want to make sure that we're laborers together with God, that the Lord is with us. And so we are to test our work. We are to prove, to see if our work aligns with God's work. We are publishers of the truth. And I'm here to tell you that if you're a gospel preacher, if you're a soul winner, if you love people and want them to go to heaven, then you have aligned yourself with God's work. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. His heart is for people to come to Him. Think about your own testimony. Think about God's work in your own life to bring you to a place of salvation. That's God's work. And we're a part of what God is doing in the lives of people. When I think tonight of being a publisher of the truth, I think of a couple thoughts and principles. First of all, truth is to be spoken in charity. The Bible says, but speaking the truth in love. It is not ever our intention to make people angry, though truth does make people angry. It's never our intention to go out and to cause disruption or to insult people. That's not our heart. Our heart is to love people, to be kind and to be gentle and to be sweet, not to be forceful, not to be demanding. Urgent, yes, not to be unkind. The Bible says that truth is to be spoken in charity. But also, truth is to be spoken completely. You see, the Bible says we're to speak the truth in love. We are to be loving absolutely, but we are to love the truth and to love people, to speak the truth in love and never compromise truth, but always speak truth. Truth is also to be spoken in every circumstance, in season and out of season, whether it's accepted or rejected, whether it's embraced or whether it is denied, we are to speak the truth and talk about Christ and His love. I think in this passage of Scripture, there's an incredible blueprint to a publisher of the truth, a messenger of Christ, a worker of the gospel. I want us to notice, first of all, if you're taking notes tonight, number one, living for the truth. The Bible says in verse number 3, giving no offense, Paul said to the church at Corinth, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, only let your conversation, and the word conversation in our King James Bible is an old English word. It means more than just the words you say, but the life you live. Let the life that you live, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Paul said that the gospel is not something that you just add to your life like a spare tire. You know, some people, the gospel or Christ is just, they run to Him when there's trouble. You know, I don't even know if I have a spare tire. I've never checked. Many people don't even know where their spare tire is until they have a flat. It's the only time they go even looking for a spare tire. And so many Christians treat God that way. When there's trouble, when there's distress, then they go running to God for help. But Christ is our life, the Bible says. And the gospel is something that transforms our life. We are new creatures in Christ, and there's a dynamic difference because of the gospel. And Paul said, don't let offense, the word there, offense, speaks there of sin. Don't let offense harm the message of the gospel in your life. Paul says, don't let your life negatively affect the gospel message. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, would you turn there? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul was very much concerned about his testimony. And there's no doubt that the devil was attacking it day and night and trying to get Paul to falter. He says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, he says, but I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The thought there of castaway is to be ineffective. Ineffective. Paul says, I live my life in control, lest my life would harm my impact in the lives of people. You know, God help us in these days not to act or react in a way that would harm your opportunity to talk to a coworker or to give the gospel to a neighbor. It's hard to witness to someone about the love of God if we're not willing to be loving. It's hard to tell someone that God is a God of grace if we are not willing to show someone grace. It's hard to explain to someone that God has been kind to us if we ourselves are not willing to be kind. It's hard to give a gospel tract to a waitress after you spent 20 minutes complaining that she took a long time giving you your food. I'm trying to be practical here tonight to explain the fact that we never want our message to be ineffective. And that's what Paul is talking about. That's what Paul is reminding us of. He writes to a young man named Timothy. And he says, Timothy, you fully know my doctrine, what I believe about God and my manner of life. Because what we believe about God impacts how we live our life. Your doctrine impacts how you live your life. And if you want to change the way you want to live your life, then you'll have to change your doctrine. And people do. People do. And Paul says, you know my doctrine and my manner of life. God help us today to have our manner of life complement the gospel message and not harm the gospel message. We see number two, lasting for the truth. In verse number 4, the Bible says, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Before we talk about all of the things that we have endured for the gospel's sake, let's take a moment and think about the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Would you go forward a couple of pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and notice with me in verse 23. The Apostle Paul is being sarcastic in verse 23 to the church at Corinth. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. The thought there is that Paul narrowly escaped death often in his ministry. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And beside those things that are without, those things, those burdens I constantly bear. There's that agony in my heart of the care of all the churches and the care for other believers. The reality is that Paul suffered much for the cause of Christ. Someone has suggested that the true test of a man's character is what it takes to stop him. And Paul was persistent in a messenger of the gospel of Christ. How many times could Timothy walk up to Paul, couldn't even pat him on the back because his back was so beaten, and say, Paul, haven't you done enough? Haven't you suffered enough? We're so soft in our society today. Here was a man who gave everything. God help us to be a people of persistence when it comes to the gospel. He says here of patience. The thought in our text And 2 Corinthians 6 is to be steadfast in endurance, to keep on running forward. All of the obstacles that come into our life, Paul says, I am patient. I showed endurance for the gospel's sake. Afflictions is the idea of pressures or strain or tensions, and sometimes they are without, sometimes they are within. If you have, you know, ever led a ministry, you understand the tensions and the afflictions for other believers to do what is right and to walk with God, and that pressure in your heart and that burden in your heart. He talks about necessities. Necessities are thought to be the inescapable hardships and the pains of life. William Barclay said the word has the idea of necessities of life. And there were times in the ministry Paul had given up the necessities of life for the gospel's sake. For distresses, and the thought there is tight places, inescapable places. Time of great threat in Paul's ministry. Stripes just means beatings. Imprisonment, just prison. Tumults is mob arising in attacks when groups of people who did not like Paul's message would come and would fight against him. And labors, the thought there is to work to a place of exhaustion, a place where you can't even lift your legs and your feet anymore. You gave everything to the gospel. He says, I suffered in these labors and watchings as sleepless nights. Because you're praying for someone to come to Christ, or you're concerned about a loved one who's strayed from the Lord. And fastings. The thought of fastings is not us fasting and praying, but it's fasting not on purpose, that someone would be involved in the work of God that they forget to eat. They are so consumed with the work of Christ that they don't even eat a particular meal, but they keep serving the Lord. I see, thirdly, leaning on the truth, verse 6. He says, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. If we're going to be publishers of the truth, then these principles will have to guide us. First of all, there'll have to be pureness. The thought of pureness is free from dirt. That's the thought. We are to be holy as God is holy. Pureness of life and pureness of message. I think of knowledge here is to know the truth. You can't preach it if you don't know it. And here he says we are to go forward in knowledge, to study to show ourselves approved. If you desire to tell someone about Jesus, then grab a gospel tract and memorize those verses and practice giving someone the gospel. By long suffering, it's bearing afflictions. You give someone the gospel and they say, don't ever talk to me about that message again. And you're like, well, I guess I tried. I guess God doesn't want me to be a soul winner. No. You bear afflictions. You keep moving forward. You keep telling people about Jesus until someone receives the message, and then you teach them to tell others about Jesus. By kindness, the thought of kindness there is to be gentle and to be kind. Paul says that we came to you. He said to the church at Thessalonica, we came to you as a nursing mother careth for her child. Gentleness and kindness. You can't take the gospel message and shove it down someone's throat. You're going to get saved or else, buddy. That's not how it works. You come with gentleness and kindness. By the Holy Ghost, we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, of course. As we preach the gospel, the Holy Spirit is there convicting people of their sin, drawing them to Jesus. Unfeigned love is, is just a genuine love, a real love. How often we see people in our day-to-day life as just people in the way, right? People that are in line or people that are just passerbys. Jesus saw the multitude. He was moved with compassion because they were not just a multitude. They were people that needed a shepherd. And Jesus saw them differently. He had unfeigned love for them, compassion, charity. God, help us to have love for people. I think of the word of truth. It's the Bible. Of course, we go forward with the sword of the Spirit, with the word of God, and there's the power of God, and we need the power of God in our life. And then there's the armor of righteousness to protect us from attacks of the devil, and it's going to be on the right hand and on the left hand. It's going to protect us no matter where the devil comes from and no matter how he tries to attack us. The armor of righteousness will be there to guard us and help us. I see number four, looking to the truth, verses 8 to 10. The Bible says, remember, we are gospel preachers here. And Paul said, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold, we live as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful and yet rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Isn't that wonderful? We see, first of all, we continue to preach the gospel through the opinions of other people. I don't know about you, but I don't like it when someone's mad at me. It bothers me when someone doesn't like me. And there are times we offend people just because we're sinners. We don't mean to offend anyone. We just offend people because nobody has it all together. And we just go through life, we live our life, and we offend people, and it bothers me when people are not angry, or when people are angry at me. It doesn't bother me when people are not angry at me. And yet the Apostle Paul faced that all the time. People were constantly angry, and their responses proved it. They hated his message. They hated his ministry. And yet Paul says, listen, we just got to keep our eyes on the Lord. We just got to keep looking to him. He says here, in honor and dishonor. There were times when Paul was given honor for his position as a minister of Christ. And there were other times when Paul faced dishonor. The church at Corinth attacked him and said, Paul, you have no authority to tell us what to do. You are not an apostle. At least you're not an apostle to us. You say, well, how did Paul handle that? He just kept preaching. He just kept going forward. In honor or dishonor and evil and good reports. There were times when Paul was criticized for his message, and rumors were spread far and wide by those who opposed him. There were others who loved him and embraced his message and embraced him as a minister of Christ. And Paul says, whether there was an evil report or a good report, I just kept going forward. I just kept preaching the truth. There were those who called me a deceiver. There were those who treated me like a liar. And yet, my message was truth. I had the truth to change their life. And yet, he says, I was treated like a deceiver. How do you handle that, Paul? I just keep preaching the gospel. There were times, he said, when they were unknown. They weren't popular. They weren't the big evangelists on television, but they just had a small church in the middle of nowhere, faithfully preaching the gospel, and yet they were unknown to the world, but they were known to God. And he says they were known to the Lord, and you just keep preaching. You just keep giving the gospel of Christ. He was sought and he was chastened like a wild beast through the field. They sought to kill him. And yet he just kept preaching. Just kept teaching Christ. We think of the obligation, to the obligation that we have. In verse 10, he says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. It was the comfort of the Holy Spirit that helped him. I'm pretty confident that Paul went through some pretty devastating days in his life. I'm sure when Demas had forsaken him, having loved this present world, it was a sharp knife to his heart. Paul was no stranger to disappointments in ministry. And yet he could still pen, I finished my course. I kept the faith. The comfort of the Holy Spirit was evident in his life and through sorrow, yet he always rejoiced as poor. I think this is the greatest thing. He doesn't say yet rich, because he could have, because we are rich in Christ. He says yet making many rich. Paul didn't have anything, but we could all agree he had everything. And his greatest desire in his heartbeat was that others would be rich through the gospel of Christ, that others would enjoy the same blessings that he enjoyed. And then he says, having nothing, and yet possessing all things, the thought there, this is so important. He says, in having nothing, yet possessing all things, the thought there is yet possessing the important things. Because it doesn't matter when you come to the end of your life how big your bank accounts are. It doesn't matter at the end of your life how new your car is or how big your house is. What matters is how many people did you bring with you? And Paul says, I didn't have a lot on earth, but I had a lot in heaven. And I'm rich toward God. I'm rich in the most important things. God, help us to have this eternal view, investing in eternity. Having the greatest riches of all is bringing other people to heaven. You know, U-Hauls don't follow hearses. You can't bring it with you. You can't bring your gold. You can't bring your money. You can't bring anything except someone else. And that was God's heartbeat, and that was Paul's heartbeat. And God help us. God help us. Let that be our heartbeat too. Because that is the answer to a world that is lost in darkness. Because, you know what, there's a provincial election coming up, and at the end of the day, whoever gets in is not going to change this world's course in eternity. But the message that you have can. Think about it, it can. You can make a dying man alive. And that is a great, wonderful blessing that we have in Christ. And so let's move forward through it all for Christ and for the gospel's sake. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your wonderful